Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All right, welcome back. You know, there's so many things are on the ballot this year. We've talked about a lot of them here, and you need to understand that one of the big ones that's coming up is Proposition A. That is this effort to force through a $15 minimum wage, but it's actually worse than it sounds. Because not only would it falsely inflate the wage floor, it would just keep going up. And that's kind of the way this thing is worded. We've got David Stokes on the phone right now, director of municipal policy over at Show Me. David, welcome back. How are you?
Mark, I'm doing great. Great to be in the air with you and everyone.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. You know, this minimum wage thing, I've got it on my voter guide here. Of course, I'm a no on it. But, you know, this is the reason why when you go to McDonald's or you go to a coffee shop, you got machines making your food these days because people are pricing themselves out of the job market with these wages.
Absolutely. And I don't know anybody who likes that whole kiosk system at McDonald's. You got to go to McDonald's to order your own food, and it takes forever. It's sort of this circle we're in where we're raising these minimum wage. We're not allowing the market to raise the minimum wage. That's fine when that happens. That's wonderful when wages go up for workers naturally. But when you artificially do it and then businesses respond as so predictably to start automation or cutting workers' hours or laying workers off, many of the things that they do, you get exactly what you just described. You go to McDonald's and you got to interact with a machine, and it's not an enjoyable experience. So then people are going to start eating out less and eating at home more, which is going to result in even fewer jobs in that industry. It's that circle we talk about.
I couldn't agree more. And we've watched what's happened in other states when something like this passed. What do you think the likelihood is that it's passed here?
Well, it's passed previously in Missouri when it's gone to the voters. So, you know, past is no guarantee of the future, of course. It's like a financial advisor commercial. But, it's passed in the past. And that's why my colleague at Show Me Institute, Elias Sapelis, just released a new paper on this question, on Proposition A, the minimum wage in Missouri. And it really talks in a lot of detail about how the evidence is strong that minimum wage increases don't help the people they're intended to help. They do help some low-wage workers, but they don't help minimum wage families. And what's the difference? Well, there's plenty of low-wage workers who are just teenagers from middle-class or upper-middle-class families working part-time. So, sure, some of them get a raise with it, but then you cut the hours, you cut the employment opportunities for the lower-skilled workers who need these jobs the most. So you hurt the people you're ostensibly claiming to help. If you assume goodwill on the back of these proponents, I don't always do that, but I will in this case. So that's what Elias talks about in depth, about all the studies that show all these things. And I really hope people check out this paper at showmeinstitute.org.
Yeah, David Stokes with us from the Show Me Institute, showmeinstitute.org, the website there. You can go and read up more on that. I beg people to educate themselves on these issues. It's just so important. The other thing that's kind of hidden in here that people don't understand is if they pass this, they don't ever have to pass another one because it's got a cost of a consumer price index that begins in 2027 that would automatically adjust it up after that, correct? I mean, it's never going to go back down. It's only going to go up.
That's true, and that's in there as well as an aspect of it that now requires businesses. It exempts government and a few others, but businesses will now be required by law to set an amount of every 30 hours worked, somebody gets 1 hour of paid leave. And the idea that the government should be interfering and mandating these types of policies is why we do need some type of initiative petition reform. I mean, yeah. It's crazy that we just that people can just interfere in business and government through the petition process like this. And that's another aspect of it. And that's just going to they're going to probably come back in 5 years and make that an even larger deal if this passes and require more time off. There's nothing wrong with paid time off, but it's something that businesses and their workers should negotiate with themselves. And in the tight labor market that we're in, trust me, workers have plenty of power. This not only will this be harmful, this whole minimum wage increase and the like, but it's so unnecessary right now as well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm trying to think back, and I know I'm the oldest one in the room here, but I think my first job, which was at an amusement park where it was seasonal, so they didn't have to stick to whatever the minimum wage was at the time, which I think was $2.25 or $2.50 or something. I think I made $1.80 or something, seasonal wage at an amusement park when I was 14 or 15 years old back in Ohio. And, you know, I didn't plan to do that for my whole life. I was doing it for some extra spending money. It was never designed to support a family of four on minimum wage. The point is, if you go and improve your skill set, you can demand more money. That was the point of this all along, right?
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. I mean, what you just described is so perfect in that it's giving young people an opportunity to get some work experience, to increase their skill set. And if you were, let's say you were working full time at that, I know it was seasonal, but let's say it was full time. If you showed up regularly and did a good job, there's no way you'd stay at minimum wage for a long time. Like, people who work minimum wage jobs and do it regularly and do it well, they get promoted quickly. They get pay raises quickly because the companies that have them want to keep them. So when you deny them these opportunities in the first place by passing these wages, which lead to these wage increases, which lead to more automation, as we started off the show with, you're denying people who need these opportunities the most. You're limiting these opportunities for them. And that's really why this is so harmful. And again, it comes back to, will some low income workers benefit? Sure. But a lot of those people are going to be teenagers of upper middle class families.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet at the same time, you're hurting the people who need these lower wage opportunities the most and who can use that to build greater opportunities in the future.
Well, I hope people download the voter guide. They can look at mine. They can go read the paper at showmeinstitute.org and find out more about Proposition A. There are also a bunch of amendments on there, including Prop 3 and Amendment 3 and all that stuff, which we're obviously a no on as well. But people can read those on my voter guide. Well, I've got you on here, David. I did want to bring this up. I got this thing in the mail the other day from Missouri American Water talking about some public hearings that are coming up. And the reason it caught my attention is there's going to be one here in the St. Louis area over at UMSL, it looks like, coming up on November 12th, where they're going to be going to the state and asking for a 35% hike in the fees they're charging you for your water. And my guess is most people get these things and throw them in the garbage.
They probably do. You're certainly right about that. So I don't know exactly what Missouri American is asking for in that, and no doubt that may seem high to the average person. But, you know, our private utilities in Missouri are very heavily regulated, and they're monopolies, so they should be. I'd like to see in a few opportunities for more consumer choice were available, but that doesn't apply across the board. So as regulated monopolies, they need to be carefully regulated by the State Public Service Commission. So you have this costly and detailed process where then when they can't just raise prices on their consumers. They have to go through, again, a long-term process here, and the State Public Service Commission will judge whether these requests are worthy or not, or if there's some compromise maybe in the middle, and I think that happens frequently. But as much as that sounds high, trust me when I say that the alternative is also bad. We saw the alternative for years with the City Water Division, which is a publicly owned utility owned by the City of St. Louis, where for political purposes, they didn't want to raise rates, because in those cases, your customers are also your voters.
That's right.
Ultimately, you have to decide. So then you underinvest in the system, and you really harm your system. And we saw that with the City Water Division. And that doesn't mean that these increases by the utilities, the private utilities, are always good. But that is the role of the State Public Service Commission to help make that decision. And I don't want to automatically say that that price increase by Missouri American is too much. I don't know. I do trust that the Public Service Commission process will work itself out. And it is a good process. As complex as it may be, and yes, most people have no desire to get involved in it and show up to these meetings, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because you as a customer have every right to do so.
It's a good point. David Stokes, always great having you on. Showme.org. Showmeinstitute.org. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Mark, always great talking with you. Thanks for having me on this morning, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll talk again soon. By the way, here you go. For the average Missouri American Water customer, if you use an average of 5,400 gallons of water a month, your bill would increase by $18. And the change to wastewater customers, for them, some customers could see up to a $27 increase in their bill. A 34% overall water and wastewater increase. So if you want to go to one of these Missouri Public Service Commission meetings, just so you know, there are a couple online, a couple of virtual hearings that are going to happen. One coming up in November 6th, the day after Election Day. And then the one that's going to be over at UMSL, which is the other closest one to us, is November 12th at 6 p.m. over at the Student Center there at UMSL. I don't even know if people show up to these. But somebody needs to ask, why do you need a 34% increase in my water bill? This is the only place you have to contest that, is at that meeting.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.